book of Ruth in chapter 2, please. Again, a warm welcome to you all this evening. Thank you for coming out. And we do trust the Lord will bless our time around His Word, His precious Word this evening. Now, Ruth chapter 2, and beginning to read at verse number 1, please. Ruth chapter 2, and reading from verse number 1. Remember, we followed Naomi and Ruth. We followed them from Moab. And now they're back in Bethlehem, in the house of bread, the place where the Lord would want them to be, we believe. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field. For Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go into the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitess damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued, even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. We know that God will bless his own precious word to our hearts here this evening. I want to think tonight particularly of the triumph of a good testimony. The triumph of a good testimony. As you know, and if you don't know, the children will tell you, I was in France for my holidays and in Disneyland Paris. And one of the things when you go to a place like that is you're afraid of missing something. There's so much to see, so much to do, and you have this fear that I'm going to miss out, and you can try and do too much and really end up doing nothing. When you come to verses like we've read this evening, it might appear on the face of them there's not maybe much here in these seven verses, but my fear tonight is missing something. There's so much here, and so much here that's practical and devotional. I want to look at it perhaps a little bit differently than I normally would with the passage. I want to look at it as it stands literally, and I want to apply it practically, but then I want to spiritualize these verses towards the end of the meeting as we try and draw something from these first seven verses in Ruth chapter 2 this evening. Orpha's now history. Remember, she turned back. She's back into Moab. She disappears off the pages of Scripture. She has no part to play whatsoever. Ruth becomes center stage in the story, and Boaz, we meet Boaz for the first time. And you know, there are some of God's people, and they're happy to stay in Moab. And that's it, they're gone. As far as the Lord's concerned, they're of no use to God, and there's no blessing from them. But here's Ruth, she's determined to move on, determined to do the right thing, and determined to advance in the service of the Lord. And I trust that we're like Ruth this evening, having that determination to move forward and to go on in the things of God. I want to see the triumph of a good testimony. I want to begin with our residence, because that's where our testimony is tested above everywhere, in our homes. Look at verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. As I said, they've arrived in Bethlehem. We noticed last week it was a time of harvest. It was an important time with great opportunities. And I want you to listen into their conversation here as we get into the home. We see something manual here in verse 2. Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let us now go into the field and glean. Ruth has just arrived. She's sowing. She's not afraid of work. And she wants to go and glean in the field. Now, a little bit of a background on what gleaning was. In Leviticus chapter 23 and again in Deuteronomy chapter 24, there was the law. When the farmer was reaping the harvest, he was not to do the corners of the field. And if there was any left over, he was to leave that for poor people and for widows. And they were allowed to come in and they could glean, and that would help the poor. And this is something that God had set down in his law. And this is something that indeed was known to the people of God in those days. Now I ask the question, how did Ruth know about it? Ruth has come from Moab. And how did Ruth understand Israel's law concerning the gleaning in the fields? It would seem to me that Naomi and her must have discussed the Word of God. Isn't that a good home? When the Word of God is discussed and the Word of God is central, it's a sign of a home that God will bless. And there's a willingness here and a humbleness and a quickness, she says, now, and an industriousness about Ruth, which we can see even in the first couple of verses. But you see something manual. She wants to get out to work, and this is a home where the Word of God was discussed. Let's look also at the mother-in-law in verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let us now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. Now Ruth's a married woman. She's a grown up lady. And yet she's asking Naomi for permission to go and glean. Now she had to glean, because they had come back empty. If they didn't glean, she could well starve. They had no social security, no help in any way in those days. And so this was God's way of providing for them. And yet she asks permission of Naomi. And I think again, as we think of her in the home, here's someone who respects her elder in the home. She's respecting someone in the home. And in so many homes it can be missing. And we can find young people who don't show that respect unto their parents. We can find it in society. We can find it even in the church. 1 Peter 5 verse 5. Likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. And so you see the manual here. She's engaged, wants to get into work. She understands the Word of God. You see the mother-in-law. You see the respect coming from Ruth. And then when we think of her mouth again, remember in Ruth chapter 1, that famous declaration that she made, verse 16 through to verse 18. Again, she's proving that her words are bond. She's sticking with Naomi. She's going to see it through. She hasn't just said it and then going to do something different. Her word was her bond. You could trust her. And so here's a lady who has a testimony at home. And it's the same for every Christian. If we haven't got a testimony at home, we have no testimony. You see the manual, you see the mother-in-law, you see the mouth. Then you see her manners in verse 2 again. Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. The phrase I'm thinking of here is, in whose sight I shall find grace. Biblically, she was entitled to glean from the corner of the field. But not every farmer complied with God's law. But there's another principle here. Even though she was entitled to it, she still was showing great appreciation. She wasn't demanding her rights. She's someone, as we can see in these verses, was respectful to others. She was thankful. She was appreciative. Maybe very old-fashioned, but it's very biblical. And you see something of Ruth's testimony here. And then you see not only this, you see her movements. It's important to be walking with the Lord. It's important to have a good testimony. And here's where the blessing comes in. Look in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on the part of a field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. That word hap is just an old English word. It just means happenings. You just happened to go into Boaz's field. Was it just luck? Was it just by pure luck that she happens to go into this field that belongs to someone who was her relative? Now, if you were to ask Ruth, how did she find her way into the field of Boaz? God didn't put up a stop sign like traffic lights and a big arrow and said, this is where you're supposed to go. You've got to ask Ruth. Ruth couldn't have told you if the Lord had spoken to her in any definite way at all. And Ruth would have said, I just happened to go in there. And from a human perspective, as far as Ruth was concerned, this was just a happening. But you know, Ruth was walking with the Lord. She was living for the Lord. And when you're walking with the Lord and living with the Lord, then things happen in your life that you can only put down to the goodness of God. I would ask anybody here this morning, this evening, did you just happen to meet your husband? And when you step back and you see how the Lord brought you together, it didn't just happen. Did you just happen to be in that place of employment? Did you just happen to live where you live? You see, when you're walking with the Lord and you're living for the Lord, things happen in your life. There are blessings that you cannot account for. As I said, with Ruth, this may have been chance, but with God, it's providence. Ruth was into gleaning. God was into guiding. This is no accident. This is God's appointment. That's why we can say all things work together for good. There were no fences in the field. There was nothing here to mark this out and to tell her this belonged to Boaz in any way. But I think Solomon gives us the answer, and you all know it so well. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I'm sure her hap was to come in to this particular field. I remember reading with Dr. F.B. Meyer, who was coming from Dublin to Holyhead. It was a rough night, and he asked the ship's captain, how do you find your way into Holyhead? And he told him about the three lights. And he says, well, no three lights are in a line. If you follow them, that'll take you straight into the harbour and take you in safely. And we often look at that in Scripture, and we say when we've got the light of God's Word and the inward conviction lining up, and God is telling you to do something in here, and the Word of God is confirming it. And then the other thing is the circumstances. And when these things line up, you're pretty sure that you're right at the centre of the will of God. And here's Ruth, and she just happens to go into this particular field. As I often say to young people, you know, when you read Genesis 24, when Abraham's servant, and I might mention him a little later on, was going out looking at a bride for Isaac, you remember how he said, I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's bride. When we're in the way, that's where the Lord leads us. And that's where things begin to happen. Things begin to happen that you can only put down to the providence and sovereignty of God. You see the triumph of a good testimony, her residence. Then we not only see something about residence, we see something about riches as well. Because look at verse number 1. We're now going to meet Boaz here. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. You discover that his family, this is so important, he's a kinsman of her husband's. And we'll understand later on as we go through the book that he becomes a kinsman redeemer. He had to be related, so he's part of the family. We also see he had a fortune. He's described as a mighty man of wealth. Now, the word used for wealth sometimes is translated valor, a mighty man of valor. But I think the King James has it spot on here, because in the context, when you think of him being a landowner, and you think of he ends up being the redeemer, Ruth's redeemer, and then I think you've I think it's got it right, and it's meant to be wealthier. This man was family. This man had a fortune. But you know, this man was faithful. His faithfulness stands out here. His faithfulness when it comes to what I've called stewardship. Look at verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless thee. He comes and he sees that the harvest is in progress, and he's a good steward of what God has given to him. God has given him this, and he's looking after it, and he's a good steward of what God has given to him. We can apply that in so many areas of our lives. God has given us gifts and talents, and we are responsible to handle these things in a way that glorifies the Lord. He wasn't careless or wasteful. You see, not only that, but you see his speech as well. He's a steward. You see his speech in verse 4, and I like this. And here's the employer of your life. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, and what's the first words they hear from him? The Lord. Isn't that nice? Isn't it nice when someone would come and the first word that they mention is the Lord? Wouldn't that be a great employer? You know, if the first thing they talk about in the morning is the Lord. But even in our own lives, how often do we talk about the Lord? How often do we make mention of the Lord? You see the speech. And then you see the servants in verse 4. These are his workers, if you like. We're looking at Boaz and a good testimony. And say he talks. He's looking after what God has given him. He mentions the Lord. He's not ashamed of the Lord. Then look at his servants. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. It's obvious he's held in high esteem by his servants. He didn't look down upon them. He treated them well. And again, you can see that he had a good testimony. I think you can see also that he's scripture, because he allowed the gleaners to glean. Some of the farmers just ignored the word of God, and they were greedy and they were selfish, and they took every last grain. I remember as a young boy, someone had set ground out for potatoes in the farm. The farmer that took the ground had taken all the potatoes he could, and this man had left the ground, then brought others in, and they started to go through it again with a harrow and try and even get more potatoes off it. And he wanted, even though he had set the ground, he wanted as much for himself as possible. And some of the farmers were greedy like that. They wanted everything for themselves and didn't want to do what God had asked them to do. But here is a man, and he runs his business by the book. And that's a good businessman. A businessman who runs his business by the book. And for businessmen here this evening, is that how you're known? As someone that runs their business by the book. You see the triumph of a good testimony in our residence, in our homes, how God then led Ruth. You see in our riches and how God had been blessing Boaz. And the amazing thing is, he lived in the days of Judges when God's name was not held in honour, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and yet through it all Boaz had a good testimony. You see the residence, you see the riches, and then you see romance here as well. Because as we look at Boaz and Ruth as they meet each other, I think there's a quiver here, and that's the only word I can think of when we think about Boaz as he sees Ruth. He notices a girl, and really his heart starts to flutter. We can only describe it as love at first sight. Look at verse number 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was over the reapers, whose damsel is this? There's a physical attraction to Ruth. She was physically desirable to him. And of course, when it comes to relationships among young people or older people, as the case may be, you can't discount the physical. There is physical attraction, and it's important when it comes to marriage that there's physical attraction. But there's much more than just physical attraction, because you see the question here. Look again in verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was sent over the reapers, whose damsel is this? He wants to know more about her. It's not enough that she's physically attractive. He's a man of God, and there has to be more, because if she perhaps wasn't a believer, if there was something maybe not right, well, he wouldn't want to get involved. And so he's making the inquiries about Ruth, and he discovers some things about Ruth. He discovers her spiritualness. You know, we read in verse number 12, we're not going to look at it this evening, that she trusted in the Lord. It talks about her being under his wings, under the wings of the Lord. But I think you can see that she's a believer, because she's living her life according to the word of God. She's out and she's gleaning in the field, so she's living by the word of God. You see the spirituality of Ruth. I think he sees the purity of Ruth. Look at verse 6. And the servant that was sent over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. She's out of Moab now. She's finished with Moab. She's come out. She's living a life of separation from idolatry and immorality. So you see the purity of Ruth in both faith and morals. And again, when someone's thinking of romance, is there spiritualness? Is there the spirituality? Is there the purity? And then there's loyalty as well in verse 6. Because the servant talks about her coming back. She came back with Naomi. And she stuck with Naomi. There's something loyal about her. And again, that's so important in those who we would want to marry or marry to, that there's that loyalty with each other. There's the spirituality, there's the purity, there's the loyalty. There's even the propriety. Because even though, as I mentioned this before, even though she had a right to glean in the field, yet according to the servant in verse 7, she had asked permission. There's a propriety about Ruth. And even the activity of Ruth, you can see that she was a hard worker. In chapter 2, verse 7, she continued from the morning. So even in these few verses, he has learned a lot about Ruth. It wasn't enough just to be physically attracted. He's learning some other things about Ruth. He discovers someone who's pure and loyal, respectful, industrious, and she went way beyond the physical beauty, and how God was now bringing them together. You see the triumph of a good testimony. I wanted to do that, to set that in context this evening. It's important in our homes and our residence. It's important in our riches that we're good stewards, and even in romance that indeed we live according to the word of the Lord. But I want to revisit the whole chapter. I want to revisit all of these verses. I want you to look beyond what's written and see something a little bit deeper. Because I have to ask the question, we see that Ruth and Boaz and had a testimony that would triumph, but how do we get a testimony that triumphs? Well, I want to say, first of all, as we think of revisiting these verses, the first thing is intimacy. Boaz is one of the types of the Lord Jesus Christ that you find in the Old Testament. Let me give you a few reasons. He's a friend of the poor. The word kinsman in verse 1 could be translated friend. And he's a man who was willing to let the poor glean in the field. Like Christ, he's a friend of the poor. The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and ye say, behold, a gluttonous man and a winebibber, a friend of publicans and sinners. He's a man of wealth. And of course, we read about the unsearchable riches of Christ. We could talk about the power of his name. Boaz means strength. The Lord Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. He's the Lord of the harvest. The Lord Jesus Christ was the Lord of the harvest. We discover he'd become the Redeemer as we read through this book. And of course, Jesus Christ was the Redeemer. We discover he came from Bethlehem, Ruth 2 verse 1. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ came from Bethlehem as well. And I want you to think of Boaz as a wonderful type of Christ. And Ruth is going to become more intimately involved with Boaz. And if you want to have a good testimony, you need to become more and more intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. There needs to be intimacy. There also needs to be dependency. How would Ruth get close to Boaz? She needed food and she had to glean for food. 12 times in chapter 2, you read the word glean. It comes from a Hebrew word which means to pick up or to gather. If you went by the law of first mention, it's found first of all in Exodus 16, and this concerns the manna, and this is what it says. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And that's the word gather. It was used first of all of the manna. Manna again is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the living word. He's the bread that came down from heaven. It's also a type of the living, the written word of God. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ indeed was the word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so as she's gleaning, I want you to see a picture of her gleaning in the word of God. Because if you want to become closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to spend time in this book. That's how you become closer and closer to the Lord. And that's what Ruth is doing in typical form. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Jesus said, search the scriptures. Think of Ruth going through and gleaning. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And what would bring Ruth close to Boaz as she gleaned? And notice where she gleaned in verse 3. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. Her hut was to lie in the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. It was Boaz's field. And we're gleaning in the word of Christ. Colossians 3 verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts. You see that Boaz is the centre of attention. Verse number 4. Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers. He's the focus and he's the centre of attention. In this book that we glean in this evening, Jesus Christ is the centre. He's the main figure. He's the one that we want to meet on the pages of the Word of God. And as you study the Word of God, as you read the Word of God, you become more and more intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading a story one time about a lady had bought a book of poetry, and she looked at the book of poetry and she set it in the cupboard, and that's where it stayed. But she met the author of the book and she fell in love with the author of the book of poetry. They get married and she took the book down and she started to read it because she now was in love with the author of the book. And if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll spend time in his book. And the more you glean through the pages of Scripture, the more you get to know of him. And the more you get to know about Christ, the more you become like Jesus Christ. The field is the Word of God. The reapers here are the servants, and this is the job of the teachers of the Word of God, to break it down, to make it digestible, accessible, that the gleaners coming behind can pick it up and understand what the Lord is saying and take something home in their hearts. And it's the responsibility of the preacher to make the Word of God interesting and instructive and simple for people to understand. You see the intimacy here. As you want a good testimony, it's when we get to know the Lord. You see the dependency. We need to spend time in the Word of God. Now let me say something about the treasury. Again, as we revisit these verses, notice what Ruth is looking for in verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. She's looking for grace. And grace is unmerited favour. She's looking to find something that she didn't deserve. And of course, if we hadn't have found salvation, if it wasn't for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we would have perished. But she found grace, and she found it in the Word of God, if I can use that typically this evening. And we need to find grace for the disappointments, the despair, and the discouragement that we find in the Word. We need to come to the Word of God to find grace. There we find grace to cope. My grace is sufficient for thee. There we find grace to help. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help. We need grace to build us up. Acts 20 verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. We need grace to guide us. Now therefore, Moses said, Exodus 33, I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. And when we get into the Word of God, we have such a treasury. We find the grace that we need to cope with the situations that are before us, and how we thank God for his amazing grace this evening. But not only do we find grace, notice something else that she discovered in verse 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was sent over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Ruth discovers that there's someone has taken an interest in her. And she discovers that there's someone who cares for her. Here's the master, and he's concerned about a Moabitish damsel. It's possible that no one else noticed her gleaning in the field. It's possible she was overlooked by many people. And so often in the work of the Lord, we can be overlooked. We can feel sometimes unappreciated. We can feel that nobody cares, nobody seems to encourage. But here's Boaz, and he's taking notes of little Ruth, and he sees what she's doing. And you know, it reminds us again that the Lord cares about us, and he cares about what we're doing, and you discover that in the Word of God. You don't have to read through many verses till you discover you have one who cares, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What a treasury we have in the Word of God. And you glean in the Scriptures, and as you glean and glean, you know, you find grace. You know, when your back's against the wall, and you find that little verse, just you find the grace to come. The grace to get you through. Just a little text of Scripture, just a wee word in season. We'll see it later on as a lovely passage when Boaz invites Ruth to come for mealtime, and he lifts a handful of parched corn and he just hands it to her. And so often it's like that when we come to the Word of God. The Lord just lifts a little bit out and sets it just into your lap. Just a wee word for you, just when you need it. Just at the moment you need it, the Lord has something to say to you. You discover one who cares about you. You find grace. You find one who cares. She found a promised blessing in the field. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. And this is something we find when we glean in the Word of God. We discover that Jesus said, for our present situation, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. For our personal struggles, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. In our present service, remember what he said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, and he's told them to go and to preach the gospel. He says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And if there's no go, there's no lo. But if we do go, there is a lo. You go, and lo, I am with you. And see, when you glean through the Word of God, you discover He's there for us. He's there in our present situation. He's there in our personal struggles. He's there in our present service. He's there for our personal security. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and He shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. What a treasury we find in the Word of God. We discover grace in this, as we glean in the field of the Word. We discover He cares about us. We discover He blesses us. And we discover, best of all, that you found Boaz gleaning in the field. And you know, when you glean in the field, you'll come and you'll find Christ. It's a wonderful study here. I don't think I've really time to go into it this evening. I'm going to mention it. But there's an unnamed servant here. Look at verse number 5. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was sent over the reapers, whose damsel is this? It's interesting. If you go through some of the Old Testament scriptures and look at some of the unnamed servants, they're wonderful types of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit's working here. You know, remember Abraham's servant? We mentioned it already. The servant took Rebekah and went his way, and the servant said, "It is my master." And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. He was a servant who convinced Rebekah concerning the person of whom she hadn't seen by his word alone. He became the comforter who conducted her in her pilgrimage until she got to that point when she saw the one she loved face to face. And that's what the Holy Spirit's doing. As He works in our lives, He's with us right throughout the journey until He brings us to that point when we see the Lord face to face. Think of the Joseph's servant in Genesis 42, and they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And there's an unnamed servant here, and just like he was interpreting the words, you know, the Spirit of God interprets the words of Christ. It's how we understand things. When we come to the Word of God, the Holy Spirit teaches us and opens things up to us and explains to us what the Lord is doing. And there's other studies that you could do as well, as you think of the unnamed servants. And here is Boaz's unnamed servant, and this unnamed servant is directing the people where they will glean and what they will do. And the Spirit of God does the same for us. He gifts us and He puts us into the body in different places, and we have different roles to play within the body of Christ. It's important we all fulfill our roles, so you can see how indeed the unnamed servant speaks of the Holy Spirit. But I just want to think about the triumph of a good testimony. How can we get a good testimony? There needs to be intimacy. We need to get to know the Lord. And as you get to know Him, you become more like Him. You get like the company you keep. If you keep company with Christ, then you'll become Christ-like. See the dependency on the Word of God. You see the treasury, all the things that you find in the Word of God. You see vitality here. She's a wonderful example of one who wants to progress. You see excitement here. She's excited about what she's doing. You see enthusiasm here. Verse 2, let me go now into the field and glean ears of corn. And you see her dedication I've mentioned already. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and she continued even from the morning until now. She just didn't spend a couple of minutes in the field. She continued in the field. She loved gleaning in the field. And you know, that's the relationship we should have with the Word of God. As we glean in the Word of God, there should be that desire, that love in our hearts to spend time in God's precious Word. You see the residence this evening, the importance of a good testimony at home. You see the riches, how we're to handle the things that God has given to us. You see the romance, and you see the verses we have revisited, some wonderful pictures and types in the book of Ruth. And that should help us to do what we read in 1 Timothy 6 verse 13. I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. We want to be able to witness a good confession. But you know, as I thought about this, and I'm going to finish with this, Boaz has come back to the field. And when he comes into verse number 1 and 2, he finds the reapers reaping, and he finds the gleaners gleaning. And wouldn't that be nice if the Lord came back? Wouldn't it be nice to find the reapers, the gleaners gleaning, and the reapers reaping? Wouldn't it be good for us to be opening up the Word of God when the Lord comes back? Wouldn't it be good for you to be feeding on the Word of God when the Lord Jesus comes back? The Lord said in Luke 12, verse 43, Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Remember what Jesus said, occupy till I come. And I just wonder what I'll be doing when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. Wouldn't it be awful if we're in a state of sinfulness, a state of disobedience, a state of bitterness? Wouldn't it be awful to have a wounded spirit, to have something in our hearts that's not put there by the Lord? And I just wonder, it's lovely to see Boaz coming and everybody's in their place, doing what the Lord wants them to do and enjoying the things that God has given them to do. Let's just bow in a moment's prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God, and Lord, we thank you for the example of Ruth and Boaz, and Lord, we know that as we go through this story, we learn so much more about them and so much more about the grace and the love of our Lord Jesus Christ as we look at them. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you for what we've learned even this evening. Lord, give us a hunger for the Word. Give us a desire to be gleaning through the pages of Scripture, that we might meet one even greater than Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we may become more intimate with him. And Lord, we might find what we need in this book day by day, and to live the lives that the Lord would have us to live. So Lord, just bless thy word to our hearts. And Lord, even as we come to the place of prayer, Lord, we pray that you'll continue with us, and may we truly pour out our hearts even this evening, for we ask it in our Saviour's precious name. Amen.